My Lords, this has indeed been a very rich debate, and I'm profoundly grateful to all those in Your Lordship's House who have taken the trouble to be here today, not only on a Friday, not long before Christmas, but on a Friday whose climatic conditions are quite clearly in evidence in the growing number of scarves and wraps appearing around the benches. It would be impossible to respond to all the immensely valuable points raised, but I'd like to touch just briefly on four things which have emerged during discussion today. One is a cluster of concerns around training and learning. Noble Lord, Lord Glassman pointed out that we needed a view of a lifelong vocation to transmit wisdom, and that therefore elder citizens were not just in need of training, they were in need of an opportunity to teach, to share what they had learned. And this House is, of course, a notable example of what can be achieved in that respect. But I don't, for that reason, want to sideline at all the importance of training. The Noble Baroness Lady Greengrass had a great deal to say about this early in the debate, on which I've made numerous notes, because she covered so many significant points about the success of training for older people in making them more able to contribute what they can, in the development of business models for older people, and many other things. But behind that lies, I think, a deeper question about the authority we accord to older people in our society. And I use the word authority advisedly, because although it's not a comfortable word in our society today, it is one that has some real traction when we begin to think how we learn, how we orient ourselves. And virtually every speaker today has, in effect, assumed that we can properly speak of an authority of experience that resides in our older citizens, an authority that we need to pay attention to and value appropriately and nurture appropriately. A second group of issues that has come up has already been flagged by the Noble Lady, the Minister, in her response. And that is to do with the fact that, of course, it's impossible to generalise about older citizens. Each one is an individual, and many belong to groups which have distinctive needs and concerns. Our attention has been drawn in several contexts today to those older citizens who belong to a category of persons for whom ageing brings extra difficulties, whose condition is compounded by disability, by circumstances of ethnic background and community, by their status as prisoners. I was very glad indeed that the Noble Lord, Lord Ramsbottom, had such detailed evidence to submit to us on the still unresolved issues around ageing prisoners. And of course, as the Noble Lady Baroness Barker pointed out, the questions arising around the needs of older LGBT people. Our response to older citizens has to be sensitive, varied, and flexible. And it is important, I think, that as many noble lords have pointed out today, there is no one-size-fits-all solution to these questions. What we need is a fundamental change of attitude which expresses itself in an imaginative, sympathetic response to the particular needs of communities and individuals. A couple of very specific questions were put by, among others, the Noble Baroness Lady Masham and the Noble Lord Lord Cormac about the role of the clergy, and I would want to say that the role of chaplains in healthcare institutions is a crucial one, both in drawing attention to the needs of older citizens and in gathering and galvanizing volunteers. That they should also have a role in identifying those deserving of public recognition in some way is, if I may pick up the Noble Lord Lord Cormac's point, something I would want to take away with some enthusiasm. As to retirement ages, I feel I'm not in a very good position to speak, being on the edge of leaving office, but I hear what is said, and I believe that there is a very significant area of concern for many of our churches, not least the Church of England, in the way in which we perhaps too readily refuse to consider and respond to what I called earlier the authority of those who are older in experience and wisdom. Fourthly, and finally of the points I want to pick up, I'd want simply to touch on the Noble Baroness Lady Andrews's remarks about the need for a protocol for all care institutions in which principles are clearly set out, principles of respect and attention. I believe this to be at the very heart of all our discussions today and any future policies. We need clarity. We need a sense of what people, as I believe I said in my opening remarks, what people know is owed to them as citizens, as human beings. And that is the essence of whatever emerges from today in terms of more focused policy proposals and initiatives. Running through my head in much of the discussion has been one of the most haunting prayers in Scripture: do not forsake me when I am old and grey-headed. It's a prayer addressed to the Creator, but it's a prayer which could very well be addressed by older citizens to their fellow citizens. Do not forsake me. We are urged not to forget, to run away from, to despise, to undervalue those to whom we are bound in common citizenship and common humanity. Finally, my lords, I want to express my deep personal gratitude for all the embarrassingly undeserved things that have been said more personally in the course of this debate. But I'd want to put that in the context of the remarks right at the beginning of the debate from the noble Baroness Lady Trumpington. On my calculation, she has lived through the reigns of 9 or 10 Archbishops of Canterbury and must have a view of archbishops as simply butterflies who come for a day and disappear. As a butterfly happily contemplating mutating into a caterpillar very shortly, I'm very glad indeed to acknowledge my debt to fellow members of your Lordship's House for many years of unbroken stimulus, companionship, challenge and inspiration.
The question is that this motion be agreed to. As many as are of that opinion will say content. Content. The country not content. The contents have it.